We shall turn again to the chapter that we read, Genesis 50. And this time we shall look, with God's help, from verse 15 to the end. Especially the subject of forgiveness. As we read the second half of verse 15, we read these words, the words of Joseph, brethren, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now we have seen, reading this chapter, we are reminded of how funerals have an impact in people's life, really. They usually make us all very vulnerable and emotionally strained. We have read in the first half of this chapter how this time of mourning for Joseph and all the people was indeed very heavy and felt by all of them. Joseph, the first verse says to us, first of all, Joseph wept over his father much. Here we have the second important man in Egypt weeping over a humble shepherd. Yet that's a very touching picture. There is no shame here about this action, about this making openly what his feelings are for his father. There's a proper place for mourning, for weeping, and for showing what our affections are. So Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. Well, we saw in the past few weeks all that was behind this all. It was on one side a very sad moment for Joseph, but it has been a great blessing for him to see his father again, to being given years of living in Egypt along his father again and with all his brethren and the families. What a time of blessing this was. And also another picture of this time of mourning, it is very well underlined by verse 13 when we read that not only Joseph but all his brethren are now standing there in this field. They are standing there in the land of Canaan. What a moment that must have been. These children united again, their father is gone, and God's promises are taking place. Bit by bit, little by bit, little, God's promises are being seen, developing. They are in the land of Canaan. Although they are well settled in Egypt, Joseph, and because of Jacob's will, they still have this in mind. Canaan is the place that God told us we will be. And there they see their father going and being reunited with their fathers. It is a strong picture that is fixing in all their mind. There is a God. Not only there is a God, but there is life after death. There are promises of God for their children. But when all this scene is done and over, many days have gone by, we reach verse 15. And here we realize a different picture. We realize life is going on and his brethren are like facing life again. And there they come with this thought. Now, yes, our father is gone, but here is our brother Joseph. What about all the evil that we have done to him? what is going to happen now? Because our father is gone. Surely Joseph will change his behavior. Let us look at this incident and the experience of these brethren under three short headings. First of all, their confession. Secondly, their forgiveness. And thirdly, their position. Their confession. Well, their confession, we have to admit and see. It's first of all open and sincere. Here is a point where all these brethren are indeed on their knees. They can see so clearly their past sin, and they speak about it, not only among themselves, close in a room, but they think about that all. Their sin is still before their eyes, and they sincerely confess this publicly. They send someone ahead of them, and they follow these servants, and they actually go before Joseph. There's no point in keeping this secret anymore. That's their confession. They are at an end of themselves. They know very well the God of Abraham, the God of our father, is real. He sees everything. He sees our hearts. He knows, and He has marked what we have done. Nothing can change this. We are without solution but to confess this to Joseph. It's open. And obviously, we may add, this confession is obviously caused by among other things, by rightly the enormity of their sin. What they have done is so grievous that time did not brush away. This, remember, what they are saying here, it's something happened years and many years ago. Yet it is as if it had happened the very same day of the funeral. It is indeed a grievous sin. It is something so bad they cannot get rid of it. And again, we have to say they are in this confession we see they are so conscious of the fact that they deserve a great punishment, a just punishment for what they have done. They understand this very well. They are not bringing with these messengers. They are not going to Joseph with any excuse or with anything trying to diminish what they have done or recalling only something marginal of what happened. No, they know, they understand, they deserve to be punished. And their idea obviously is, well, Joseph have been so kind up till today because of our father. But surely now the time is come when we must receive what we really deserve. That's their confession. And indeed, brethren, this is what our confession should be, isn't it? We are to confess to God our sins, no matter how far they are in our lives. They will come up sooner or later. There is no point to try and hide our sins with time, because nothing will clear that. One day, sooner or later, you will stand before God. You can hide these sins to anyone else, but not to God. And this is what happened in their lives, isn't it? They never had the thought that Joseph would be standing before them again. They were so foolish as to living along their father for so many years hiding this grievous sin. But here he's up again. And so one day, my friends, we are to live day by day now with this very thought that one day everything will be brought up into light. How can we live day by day thinking that we got along very well, hiding this or that? You are, and you will be, standing before the light of light, at the presence of the one to which everything is known. So if your conscience is telling you, even this day, that there is a grievous sin, something in your conscience is still there, and you have offended God, where else will you go? What else could you do? If you hide it more and more, if you keep it pushing down more and more, you're only making it worse. Their confession has been open and sincere indeed. But secondly, what about their forgiveness? Well, we can read among the lines here that, yes, they have been forgiven by Joseph. But as they come before him, and in everything that they say, their forgiveness is not assumed at all. And first of all, Joseph himself, he did not have to forgive them. He was perfectly all right. He had his own position and welfare. He was not in need of his brethren. He did not have to answer what he answered. Actually, the only right thing to do would have been, well, I've been nice to you up to today. We've been enjoying, because of our father, some of our old times as a family. But now you get what you deserve. You have to pay for that. And this is the right time. He could have done this. And indeed, these brethren, rightly so, they don't assume their forgiveness. They actually come to Joseph and they ask to be forgiven with a real humble heart and with a right humility in their heart, within themselves. They are not acting before Joseph like in the past. They are indeed on their knees. Verse 18 tells us, not only they send the messengers to Joseph as if it were, you know, we are telling you what was wrong indeed, but so if you would like to come and speak to us, here we are. No, that's not the point of humility they reach. They are indeed asking humbly full forgiveness to Joseph. They send messengers and they go after and they come before Joseph and they fell down before his face and they say, we are your servants. We do not deserve anything more. All that we ask is our lives. We are your servants. So, rightly so, therefore, they ask for being forgiven with true humility, with a real heart changed before God. They know now it's not only Joseph there before them, it's God Himself dealing with all their lives, having brought them down to Egypt, having shown what their heart is, bringing to their mind the awful things that they have done. And they ask for forgiveness. But there is something else we may add about this forgiveness. Yes, they didn't assume of Joseph to be forgiven. They humbly come before Him and ask to be forgiven. But we can add that this forgiveness was already there. They had forgotten that they were forgiven. They had already received it. This is a nice incident, a great help for us all about forgiveness. We go back a few chapters and we recall the very first time they met with Joseph, and they cried in Joseph's house, and Joseph showed himself to them and he forgave them. That's why they went back and persuaded his father to come and see where that Joseph is alive. Joseph didn't kill them right there and then, but he forgave them. Now, that forgiveness, now to them, is forgotten. It's gone. They have already received it long time ago, because if you remember, now we are reading what is happening after Jacob's death, but after 17 years of living in the land of Goshen. They have been settling here with Jacob, with all his families, at peace with Joseph for many long years of happy life. They were forgiven. They already understood who Joseph was and how he acted with them. They enjoyed a peaceful life for so long. But now, because of their father's going, here is this doubt coming up again. And you see, their forgiveness, what they are asking in really, is influenced by their own standard. That's again what they still think. That's again their attitude about who they are. Surely, now that our father is gone, he will certainly hate us. Can I ask, my friend, if you ever think about God with your own standard, do you ever approach the Lord thinking that He is acting as you would act? That's exactly what these brethren did. When we think of forgiveness, yes, my friends, God does not have to forgive you. He doesn't. He's not under any obligation at all. He is self-sufficient, He is eternal, He is God, and He is only right and righteous when He will punish you in hell. He is perfectly holy and just, and He has to deal with your sins. But as you are a Christian today, as you have tasted the Lord's forgiveness, maybe long time ago, maybe years and years ago, do not let your conscience accuse you when you come before the Lord. When you speak to Christ and confess your sins, that is right. But let not this be influenced by what you think Jesus, when you wrongly think who Jesus is. Jesus is not a mere man. He is not someone nice who came down and gave you an example of living. He is not someone who will pat beside your shoulder and say, "Don't worry, everything will be well." Christ is the Son of God. He is Jesus, the one who wiped away all your sins because of His death and resurrection. He is the one that if forgave your sins years ago and you saw this, He will not change His mind after many years. do not think wrongly, but go back to the Word of God and remember who Christ is. Just like Joseph here. His forgiveness is full and free and forever. So what can we say now of their position? They have been asking forgiveness. They confess their sins. And what is their position now? What can we learn from what they say here before Joseph? Well, first of all, at the end of verse 17, we understand that they mention God. They mention the God of your father. And they say, we are servants. And that's what caused really the change of this all in the past few years for them. They realize now there is a God in heaven. There is a God who is a righteous judge. They didn't think so when they sold Joseph to the Midianites. See what a change has been brought in their hearts. They speak of the God of their father Jacob. They believe now that the Lord has a plan, and how he was true with Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Jacob, he is true as well here today. They are changed man, and they declare themselves to be a servant of God. Nothing more is important to them. They want to be servant of God, the God of Abraham. But secondly, they mention as well Joseph, and they declare, not only we are servant of the God of thy father, but we want to be your servant. That's the understanding of what they have about Joseph. And so they acknowledge that now their eyes have been indeed opened. What they thought of Joseph's dreams years ago when he was just a young boy, now they can see it was God's dream. It was God's will. It was God dealing with Joseph. And now, you see, what they hated so much before, when Joseph only mentioned, I see the stars bowing down, and they hated the thought of bowing down to Joseph. They mocked him when they heard that dream. Now they actually willingly bow their knees before Joseph. And they do this with their full heart, with a great joy. Isn't this perhaps your conversion? Don't you see as a Christian how the Lord bent your knees at the cross? And how you are now willingly before God crying to Christ and saying, Lord, I'm your servant. Lord, you are the one who deserve this. All my life is to serve you. That's the reaction of someone who understands fully well what forgiveness is. You are now servant of God. You are now at the feet of Christ, the one who paid for your forgiveness, for your true, long-lasting and perfect forgiveness. And thirdly, well, lastly, regarding their position, you imagine them saying, we are servant of God, we are servant of Christ, we are your servant, Joseph. And there is this last relieving words of Joseph. Fear not. Fear not. I will nourish you. Verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little one. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That's your position in Christ, my friend. That's your position the moment you believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your forgiveness, but for your whole life. This is where you are to stand, where, so to speak. This is how you are to be on your knees before the cross, as a servant of Christ, but as someone who has not to forget that He says to you, "Fear not. I've paid for all your sins." Though they may be red as scarlet, though they may be heavy as mountains and big as the whole world, fear not, the Lord says. Your conscience is relieved. It is washed. I have a quote from one of the Puritans, Thomas Watson here, a great preacher who said, "Look upon God in prayer, not in His judgment robes, but clothed with a rainbow full of mercy and clemency." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who God is in Christ. And that is your position if you trust Him and you pray the God of heaven through the mediatorship of Christ alone. He is not in His judgment robes, but He is clothed with a rainbow of mercy.